Okay, are you ready for the last session before lunchtime?
Yes.
Good. I was thinking on the difference on some pronunciation, like yoke and joke and everything, and that sometimes can cause problems, right? Because we pronounce words differently. So there was this guy in his school in El Paso, and he is a Mexican that crossed the border and is learning to speak English, and the teacher tells him in school, okay, kids, I want you to do a phrase, to make a phrase where you use the words liver and cheese. And one of the girls says, okay, my mommy made me a liver and cheese sandwich. And the teacher says, really good, that's great, perfect. And another kid says, I like cheese, but I really don't like liver. And the teacher says, that's really, really good. And then this guy that just crossed the border gets up and he says, well, you know, the other day I was walking in the mall and I saw my girlfriend with another guy. The teacher goes, yeah? Well, that's my phrase. The other day I was walking in the mall and I saw my girlfriend with another guy. I'm sorry, but what does that have to do with liver and cheese? Well, I told the guy, liver alone, cheese mine. That's an old joke, right, Jim? But there's a lot of new people, so. Okay, go to Jeremiah 29. And we're going to get into a fantastic section of the Word of God. You see, so far in the book of Jeremiah, we've seen quite a few things that have gone wrong, and really just a few things that have gone right. We've seen that they have such a religious system that is really bringing and is going to bring calamity for people. But we've seen how in the midst of all that, God has blessed Jeremiah, and he has blessed other people like Baruch and Ebed-Melech, even telling a couple of them, Baruch and Ebed-Melech, that they're going to stay alive in spite of all the circumstances. Now, in Jeremiah 29, we're going to get into a beautiful section of the Word of God, and it's very important to notice who he sent this revelation to. And it is also very important to notice that this was written some years after the beginning of the siege, and also some time after the first deportation had occurred, the deportation when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been taken captive. In Jeremiah 29, verse 1 says, now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. And this includes Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It is so wonderful that God had some words for the people who had been carried away. Verse 2, it says, after that Jeconiah the king and the queen and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elisha the son of Shaphan and Gemariah the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying. So we're going to see that this letter is going to be sent to those captives that are already in Babylon. And Jeremiah is going to send it, and you can understand that if a letter is going to be sent from a conquered country, or from a country that is being sieged, that is going to fall, to the country where the other people are, I'm sure that letter was read by many people, right? I mean, it's not that the king Nebuchadnezzar was just going to let that card, that letter pass and arrive. So it had to be such a wonderful and miraculous situation that the letter Jeremiah sent did arrive and was read by the people. It was so wonderful that probably at that time Daniel had already such an influence on the king Nebuchadnezzar that the letter from Jeremiah was okay. It was able to arrive and be read. Let's see what happened. That letter said, verse 4, "Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." So it's very clear who this letter is being sent to. It's being sent to the people who are already in Babylon captive. That includes Daniel and his friends. And let's see what the letter says. Verse 5. "Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." What Jeremiah tells the people who have been carried away is, live your lives. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of those gardens. Get married and have boys and girls. And when your boys and girls grow older, find them a nice wife or a nice husband so that they might have grandchildren. You may have grandchildren. Jeremiah also tells them, and even though you have been taken captives, seek the peace of the city where you live now. To seek means to be actively involved in seeking. It is what you would call today being proactive. And it also says to pray to God for that city, to intercede for it, to be a mediator between the city and God. And then it says something that I really appreciate, because if it was not written, this seminar would not have a title. He tells them, "For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." It is very interesting that God did not tell them in the revelation that Jeremiah wrote, "Pray so your captivity ends immediately." He didn't tell them, "Pray so that the place where you are right now is destroyed." He didn't even tell them, "Fight for your freedom. He didn't tell them, "Fight for your independence." God speaks to them very soberly, but also very nicely. Remember that he has been speaking to them rising up early. He's giving them a lot of chances. But these people that have been taken captive, now this is what God sends to them. What God is basically telling them is, you know, you are going to be there. You are not coming back soon. So don't spend your hours and your days and your weeks and your months daydreaming for what it could have been back in Jerusalem. Don't spend your lives crying for what is not there anymore. Move on. Live. Enjoy life. That's what God is telling them. What a fantastic God. When you are very honest about it, we human beings do not have a lot of control over many things in life. We don't. But We can choose to believe in God wherever we are and under whatever circumstances and situations we are in. Sometimes you may daydream and think, oh, I wish circumstances were different. I wish I didn't have to face this and that situation. I really wish I lived in another place or in another time or in another planet. Well, many things we do not control, but we do control our decision to believe God. Sometimes people read studies about quality of life, or they read magazines about, you know, quality of life, and they think, I wish I lived in such and such city because the quality of life is much better. I know there may be cities where houses are bigger and gardens are greener and water is cleaner. But there is not a single city in the world where sickness and tribulation and fear and hatred have been eradicated. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no better quality of life than believing the Word of God. There isn't. There is no better house than where the Word of God is believed. There is no better garden than where the Word of God is planted. And there are no better waters than the living waters that spring from God and not from broken cisterns. God can take care of us any place and under any circumstance. And even if things get so bad that everything is lost, by God's grace and mercy, He can give us our own lives as bounty because He is merciful. And even if that gets lost, we do have the hope of Christ's return. It must be so, so hard to be taken captive to a place you had never thought even on going to, where you do not know the language and the customs, and the food is different and the clothes are different. It must be so hard to be taken captive to a foreign land. It must be so hard to be rooted out and have to immediately leave your family and your friends and your neighbors and to be taken to a place where strange people live. It must be so hard, as we read before, to have taken away the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. But Jeremiah writes to them, look at verse 4. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. So even if they are going to a foreign land, not because they decided to move, but because they were taken captives, God is still telling them, in that land, you can increase, you can prosper, you can do fine, you won't diminish. Remember, for the people that didn't believe God, that were still in Jerusalem, things were going backwards and not forward, remember? But in this case, God tells them that ye may increase there and not diminish. Verse 7, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Now, to be asked to pray for the place where you are being held captive has to be so difficult. It must hurt so badly your sense of patriotism, But God sees beyond what we see. He has a deeper sense of the value of life, and He has a very clear way of how we are supposed to face adversity. Verse 7. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. And this is so funny because some of the people who had been transported had been false prophets in Jerusalem, and now that they are captive in Babylon, they're still false prophets. You can see that the adversary is not wasting any time, is he? He had false prophets in Jerusalem. If those false prophets, some of them were removed to Babylon, there are still false prophets in Babylon. Verse 9. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, said the Lord. For thus said the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Jeremiah had received long before the revelation that once they were taken captive to Babylon, they were going to be there 70 years. In this letter, he reminds them and assures them that they are going to spend 70 years in captivity. Now, the people who are captive have two choices. One is to spend those 70 years complaining and crying and dying of nostalgia for their former life, or to listen to God and get proactive. You know, they can cry and feel miserable and ruin their lives completely, or they can say, you know, I will build me a nice house, and I'm going to get me a nice wifey, and I'm going to get me some nice boys and girls, and then I'll get some grandchildren, and I'm going to make me a garden to eat of the fruits of it, and, you know, I'm going to make this place my new home, and I'm going to pray for it, and I'm going to seek the peace of this place, because God has told me that if this place has peace, I am going to have peace. And you know why I'm going to do that? Because I'm not in Jerusalem anymore, but God is here with me. I'm not in Judah anymore, but God is here with me. The food is different here, but I can still thank God for the food. My house is different than the one I had in Jerusalem, but you know, I have a nice bed to sleep in and a chair to sit, a nice table to have food and read, and, you know, it's a place where God can really bless me. You know, my neighbors are not the same, but there's enough people to show them how great my God is. Of course, I miss my mom and my dad and my brothers and sister. I miss them terribly, but I can pray for them. I can ask God to take care of them, and if we do not get together again now, you know, we'll have eternity to catch up. And then God goes even further and tells them with so much love and concern and mercy and forgiveness and light the following, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. You know, many times people ask themselves, oh gosh, I wonder what God is thinking of me. You know, I did it again. I wonder what God is thinking of me now, you know. Gosh, oh God, what must he be thinking of me? But in this case, God says, you know, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord. And then he says, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. this phrase, to give you an expected end, when you study it thoroughly, you'll see that it really includes two things. It means to give you the hope you're expecting, but you could also say to give you a future and a hope. This phrase includes not only to do better now, but to do even better in the future. It's like with us today. God wants us to do fine in this life, but we also know we have eternity. This phrase really has that sense of to give you a future in the land you're going to be in, but also to give you a hope even further. Verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. This is what God is telling them. But wait a minute. God is far away. His house is in Jerusalem. Or maybe he's there with them in the place where they are captive now. And maybe if they pray, God is going to listen to them. Then verse 13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. But wait another minute. God is far away. Or maybe he isn't. Maybe he is right there with them in Babylon. Maybe there they can seek him and find him if they search with all their hearts. Verse 14. And I will be found of you, said the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, said the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. And look now at the following verses, which very clearly shows that what mattered was not what city they were living in, but what God they were living with. Verse 15. Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. And that refers to the false prophets that were telling them that everything was going to be fine back in Jerusalem and they were going to get back to Jerusalem soon. Verse 16. Know that thus said the Lord of the king that seated upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in the city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus said the Lord of hosts, behold, I will sell upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like a vile vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword, with the famine, and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and an astonishment and a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them, because they have not hearkened to my words, said the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But ye would not hear, said the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab, the son of Kolaiah, and of Zedekiah, the son of Maaseiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the land of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And of them that shall be taken off a curse by all the captivity of Judah which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord made thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. So what God is telling them is, listen, you are captive, but if you obey my word and you build your life, you're going to have a future there. You are going to do fine. You are going to prosper. You are going to live your lives. You're going to get married, and then you're going to have grandchildren, and you're going to stay there because it's going to be 70 years, so make your life there. Now, the people that are still in Jerusalem, some of them are going to do really bad. Some other people are going to be carried, And those prophets that are telling you, either in Jerusalem or here, that everything is going to be fine, that the captivity is going to end, they are not going to end well. Again, in verse 21, it says, "Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab the son of Kolaiah, and of Zedekiah the son of Maaseiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And of them shall be taken off a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, The Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire." So those two false prophets are going to be killed. Not only any death, but they're going to be roasted in the fire. And people are going to see. People are going to be taken to see that. And when they see that, they're going to make a phrase, they're going to make a curse that is going to say, "The Lord made it like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire." Roasted in the fire. We know that the king of Babylon could have some pretty spectacular punishments for people, like roasting them in the fire. Now we know he tried that one with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but it didn't work out. But in this situation with these false prophets, it worked out pretty well. And it was something that left such an impression on people's mind that they say, you know, may the Lord roast you like Zedekiah and like Ahab. All those punishments. And you know, and people going to see, you know, the king would do these great ceremonies to have people roasted, you know. That's a real roasting, right? You know, I know they have in TV shows that say, okay, we're going to roast this person now and that person now. In that time, the TV shows were a real roasting, okay? They were going to roast these two guys. What's on the menu of torture today? Today, for a special, we have roasted false prophets, two of them. We caught them, you know. We went hunting and caught them, and we're going to have two false prophets roasted. Oh, that's great. Let's go see. Why did that happen to them? Verse 23. Because they have committed villainy in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them, even I know and am a witness, said the Lord. Thus shalt thou also speak to Shemaiah the Nehemite, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, Because thou hast sent letters in thy name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah the priest, and to all the priests, saying, The Lord hath made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada the priest, that ye should be officers in the house of the Lord, for every man is for every man that is mad and maketh himself a prophet, that thou shouldest put him in prison and in the stocks. Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Nananoth, which maketh himself a prophet to you? For therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, saying, This captivity is long. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, So before we read the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, what happened is that, as I said before, there were also false prophets that had been taken captive to Babylon. One of those false prophets, well, two of them were prophesying, oh, you know, we're going back soon to Jerusalem, where everything is going to be fine. Don't listen to Jeremiah. We're going to go back to Jerusalem soon, before the city is destroyed and everything is going to be fine. Those two were roasted. This other prophet, when he heard that Jeremiah had sent the letter and he heard the letter, he got really upset. And he sent his own letter to the priest back in Jerusalem and told him, listen, Jeremiah sent this letter. Why are you letting him do that? Talk to him and tell him not to do that. You know, in that letter, this idiot said that, you know, the captivity is not going to be, is going to be long, that they are going to build houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Why are you letting him say that? So, back in Jerusalem, Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet, and then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, verse 31, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus said the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehemite, because that Shemaiah had prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie, therefore thus said the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among these people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, said the Lord, because he had taught rebellion against the Lord. What happened is that once Jeremiah sent the letter and they read it, some of the people who read it in Babylon were very upset and sent letters to Jerusalem telling them to stop Jeremiah from speaking. But God didn't like that. We see that in Jerusalem, there are people who believe in God, like Jeremiah, and there are people who don't believe in God. And out of the people who had been taken captive, there were people who did not believe in God, like those false prophets, but there was also people who believed in God, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We can see that the important thing is not the place where they live, but whether they believe in God or not. Go back to the beginning of this chapter, please, in verse 4. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause you to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, said the Lord. For thus said the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The situation is quite difficult, but the captives have received the word of God, and we have to ask ourselves, when these people were taken captive from Jerusalem to Babylon, did God stay in the temple in Jerusalem and let them go alone? Or did God go with those who choose to take him with themselves? You know what? When Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were taken captive, maybe they didn't have a lot of time to choose what clothes they were taking with them. Maybe they didn't have enough time to prepare a lunchbox with local delicacies to take with them. But apparently, they had enough time to take God with them. And we are going to see after lunch how those people in captivity, because they believed God, were able to have a future and a hope in that strange land. So let's have lunch and we'll be back.